So if I ask you the question, who am I, how do you answer? If I ask you the question, what is awareness? How would you answer?
To me, it's an experience or it's a feeling. Like, you know, which is kind of devoid of all the ego and the personality traits. And what is felt while I'm in the deep meditative state. And also while I'm in a call with you and an experience, I feel a certain space. And that to me feels like awareness, where there is no internal owning of, you know, this is Sharon, this is my personality or body.
So, is it fair to say you experience awareness? Just as we say, I am experiencing happiness or I am experiencing guilt.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say I am experiencing awareness?
At this point, that's how it feels. Then it just feels I am the one who is experiencing it.
So if we were to separate these two things, the I and the awareness, what is this I and how does it... How would it experience awareness?
So, I have more to do with my personality of who I am and, you know, what I've been made.
No.
Okay.
Just check in a single moment. You know, in any moment, there's no personality. At the most, there is a thought.
Yeah.
So, you will have to say thought is experiencing awareness. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct. That's how it is.
Thought is experiencing awareness?
Yes. It's my thought which is experiencing it.
Beautiful. So let's take a thought. What is a thought? Let's take a thought. A thought is saying, I want to have a cup of tea. I want to eat an apple. Okay. Now this thought is, I want to eat an apple is a thought. How is this thought going to experience awareness?
By totally being in that moment, fully present to that cup of tea.
No, how is it going to experience awareness? How does a thought is a string of words.
Yeah.
That's what a thought is, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's a string of words. Now, you're saying the string of words is experiencing awareness. Okay, so the question is, how can a string of words experience awareness?
It just says a particular story. This string of thoughts.
Second.
So these string of thoughts are also again saying a set of stories about awareness. It just feels like, you know, the body has quietened down or the mind has quietened down, and that translates into being aware.
Okay. So if you simplify even the thought, let's take a single word. Thoughts are just words joined together, right?
Yeah.
So let's take a single thought, the word apple. Can the word apple experience awareness?
How is that possible?
That's what we've been assuming now all along, that thought experiences awareness.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I want to eat an apple is just five words.
Yeah.
Can a word experience awareness?
Wow. No, that's not possible.
Beautiful. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So massive misunderstanding in the system. Now, look at one more thing here. That when you say the word apple, how do you even know you're thinking the word apple?
Because I've been taught.
No. the word apple is being recognized because it is in awareness, because it is in consciousness.
Right.
So because consciousness is present, you know, oh, this thought came. If there is no consciousness, yes, you wouldn't know the word apple also, right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I'll be like a dead pile. Yeah.
Yes. So even to know this thought, I want to eat an apple, you need awareness. So awareness knows the thought. Thought cannot know awareness.
Siri, can you repeat it again?
Awareness knows all the thoughts. All these thoughts appear in awareness. I want to eat. I am hungry. I am thirsty. I am angry. I am guilty. This is all appearing within your consciousness. So consciousness knows all these thoughts. But thoughts cannot know consciousness. Tell me what you're getting.
All this while, it is through the thoughts that I am trying to understand awareness. Because, you know, I feel there is no other way through which I can kind of access awareness or understand awareness or experience it. But
see, there are two different words you're using. Hold on, hold on. This is a very subtle thing.
Huh.
Understanding awareness, you need language.
Huh.
Experiencing awareness is different. The question we started with is, how does the I experience awareness? Or how does the I experience consciousness? Because you started with, I experience it. I am experiencing consciousness. I am experiencing awareness. Then you use the word personality. Then you use the word thought. And then we realize thoughts cannot experience anything. Thoughts are themselves just appearances in consciousness. So then who experiences awareness? Who experiences consciousness? And by consciousness, what do we mean? We mean the simple awake feeling that you have in this moment. Right? You are conscious in this moment. Nobody can deny that. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to know consciousness or experience consciousness, who's going to do it?
Consciousness itself.
So what you're saying is consciousness knows itself.
Ideally, it should,
yes.
But that's not there in the experience.
Ideally, it should.
Yeah.
How can something experience itself? It's possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never thought it like that.
This is the real meditation, to play with these questions.
Yes, it is.
Who is experiencing consciousness? Can thought experience consciousness? Can the personality or memory or any of that experience consciousness? The answer is no.
Yeah.
They are all appearances themselves in consciousness. So then who can experience consciousness? To experience anything, if you want to experience consciousness, you will have to bring a second consciousness who experiences the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can say, okay, this consciousness is experiencing that consciousness. But the problem is there is only one consciousness in the whole of manifestation.
Yeah.
Okay, now that same consciousness is shared by you, me, cat, dog, tree, everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we are saying only that single consciousness can experience itself.
Wow.
Only the consciousness can experience itself. But where does that leave you? And where are you then?
Exactly. Exactly.
And who are you then?
So if there is just one consciousness, and if that consciousness is experiencing itself, then what is Sharon? Or
Sharon is just a thought which appears in consciousness and disappears in consciousness.
Wow. And if I have to experience this consciousness.
Yes.
How can I experience this consciousness when I am consciousness?
Beautiful. That's the subtle trick. That's where we say give up the effort, stop struggling, surrender. That's why all these words come out.
Wow.
The more the me struggles to experience consciousness, the further it goes, the harder it becomes.
Wow.
Consciousness is already knowing itself and experiencing itself all the time. Other way to say this, the other way to answer this, especially for people who are not used to these kind of conversations, is to say that consciousness is always by default aware of objects in the world.
Yeah.
Right? So it's focused on a person or a phone or a food or whatever, or a sensation. So first you need an interest and a desire to bring it to itself. So it means we have to cultivate an interest in it itself. Consciousness has to be interested in itself first. It has to come back to itself. So in truth, it is already with itself only. Where are you?
So, Chidi, if you could elaborate this a little further when you said that consciousness has to be interested in itself. Because the focus is always attached on relationship, object, outside.
So again, I missed the words.
Yeah. So I was saying that I would like you to elaborate this portion where you said that consciousness has to be interested in itself.
Yes.
Because right now, my consciousness is sort of identified with everything that I see outside or everything that I experience outside.
But let me tell you even funnier thing.
Huh.
That even when consciousness is experiencing the world, it is only experiencing itself. Because the world is made out of consciousness. So if we want proof of that, let's say consciousness is experiencing sensation in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's some sensation of your hand touching the something.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe your hand is touching the chair or the
body.
Somewhere, wherever your hand is. So there's a sensation there, right? Experience there. If you don't label that experience at all, what is that experience? If you don't label an experience, what is the experience?
It's kind of
if
unknown.
Thought doesn't interfere.
Yeah.
Correct. It's an unknown sensation or an unknown experiencing.
Yeah.
Now, the question is that unknown experiencing, if you look at it carefully, you will find it is just a modulation of consciousness itself. It is not something separate from consciousness. But this is a little tricky to get.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Yeah. That are difficult subject.
Yeah. Chidi, just repeat the small portion again. Just what you said right now.
Every experience that we seem to experience, it could be a sound, it could be an image, it could be anything. Anything you experience is like a ripple on consciousness itself. They say, imagine pure consciousness is like a lake with no ripples. It's like flat, like almost like ice.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening. Now, a sound is like a ripple. It's like somebody threw a pebble and suddenly there'll be ripples. And that's an experience that is created there.
Wow.
But that experience, the ripples will come and the ripples will go. And consciousness remains itself. So that experience, whatever occurred, was just a distortion on the surface of consciousness. It was a ripple. So every experience we have is just a ripple in consciousness. only consciousness, there is nothing else there. Everything else that you say is there is just your thought superimposing stuff.
Wow.
So thought says this is a chair, this is a hand, this is a dog, this is a cat. That's all thought.
Yeah.
That's all man-made stuff.
Yeah.
That's all human invention, right?
Yeah.
That's a cat and that's a dog.
Correct.
But yeah. Actually, there is only consciousness. There are only ripples. These are all ripples. And all ripples are only water. So no matter what you're experiencing consciousness. In Akim language, no matter what you're experiencing God. No matter who you meet, you're meeting God. You're meeting Son of God. That's an actual fact. That's not a story that is being told in Akim.
Yeah.
Is your head blown?
No, I have a question, if I can ask that question. So,
yes.
I would like to understand your experience with consciousness.
By your, it means what now?
As in, yeah, I can't, that's another question itself.
But I will answer.
Yeah.
I'll answer, but what specific aspect would you want to know?
Like, I think the main problem is that there is a lot of identification, you know, with everything.
How do you know that? How do you know that? What if that's another story you're telling?
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah.
But finish your question. What did you want to know?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
assuming so, there is identification, okay.
Yeah, so there is so much of identification, like you give the example, this is my chair. That itself says, you know, I'm identified with this chair and knowing this is a chair and this is my hand. And there is this I, me and mine.
Yes. Which are all products of thought.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
The chair is a product of thought. The I is a product of thought. And that this is mine, it belongs to me, it's also a product of thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the mind is silent, then where is the me, mine and where is the chair? In some sense, they are there, but they are not there. They can still be there.
Mm.
But the mind is not cognizing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. The whole world of deception is created through thought only.
Yeah, yes it is. Yes, because, yeah.
Even the fact that you say you're a woman or a man, or a sharing or a wife, it's all created by thought.
Yeah.
In the what are you in the absence of the thoughts? So then there's just pure awareness taking different forms. Awareness taking different forms. That's all there is. It's a lake having different ripples, hundreds of ripples. Of different kinds, and then it becomes quiet again. So manifestation is nothing but a ripple on consciousness.
Wow. So each time there is this consciousness, and then we are actually going and fetching for it. It's almost like the mind is only trying to go and catch it, and it's already there.
It's already there. It's always there. It's eternally there.
Yeah.
It's the I am. It's what in spirituality is called I am. You know, Jesus says in the Bible, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Now everyone thinks this grammar is wrong. You know, how can you say this grammar? It's grammatically wrong.
Yeah.
That before Abraham was, I am. But I am is timeless. I am doesn't have time. Time itself is a ripple that appears in consciousness. Consciousness is eternal, infinite. There's no sense of time there. Time is part of this ripple. It's a temporary phenomena that again appears and disappears. And for time also you need mind.
That's true. Yeah.
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 Otherwise, where's time? If there is no mind, will you know what was yesterday and what is tomorrow?
That's true.
Yeah. Where is the past? Where is the future? So coming back to experiencing our awareness, how do we experience awareness? How do we become more familiar with it? And finally, how do we realize that I am this awareness itself? That's the biggest trick. So you answer it for me. Tell me.
The first thing that's coming to me is remembrance. But again, who will remember? That's the question. But being in this body-mind mechanism...
Yes, remembrance is fine. Yeah. What else? Why can we not experience it in this moment? When it is fully present, it is fully aware of itself. Consciousness is self-aware. If it is fully present, it is self-aware. Why are we talking about future? Can we experience it in this moment? And if not, what is it that prevents the experience in this moment?
So, there's an instant still... I don't know how to explain this, but the moment you ask this question, I can feel a calming down in my experience, or I can feel a strange stillness in the system, as in my body and mind. And what is preventing is, again, the thought that I am experiencing this, you know, like Sharon is experiencing this.
Yeah. So who would you be to let go of that thought that I am experiencing? Nice.
Yeah.
So in the absence of that thought, sharing and experiencing, if the thought moves out, then there is only the peace experiencing itself.
Wow.
There is no I am experiencing the peace. But it gets even subtler here. This is something you have to practice a bit to get into the subtleties of this.
Yeah.
That the more consciousness becomes aware of itself and the more consciousness rests in itself, the experience becomes more and more subtle of it until you can actually not feel it only. What you're saying now, I'm feeling suddenly relaxed, and those are all the byproducts.
Yeah.
But again, when you say I'm feeling relaxed and silent, you're referring to the body mind.
Yeah.
See, you still brought in the body mind.
Right.
Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But in its purest state, it's like that lake, you know, which is as clean as glass without a single ripple on it. So it's difficult to even say okay, it feels like this or feels like that. It feels like pure knowing or pure experiencing, but it's difficult to put a label on that.
Well,
it feels like a crystal clear piece of glass or a mirror, but the mirror is not reflecting anything. Of course, these are all just poetic ways to say.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, it is an experience-less experience. What do we mean when we say experience-less experience? In the normal world, all experiences have objects.
That's true.
Yeah. In this experience, there is no object because the experiencer is resting in itself. You know, I am is resting in the I am. So Ramana Maharishi had another word for it. So he had three levels. Ramana would say it is, you know, like first your I am Sharin. From there you come to just your I am. And then you come to I. There is only I and with the I. We call it the double I. So the double I is not even an experience. It's just a silent, immersed state of being. It's an immersed state of being. In fact, the body, mind, world cannot be found. So that immersed state of being is the highest, deepest peace and bliss possible. But now again, when we use the word bliss and peace, we are again talking in reference of the body.
Yeah.
So that's why it gets tricky.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Every time we are using some label, we bring in the body, mind, world.
Yeah.
So it gets subtler and subtler. Until finally, you know, you come to this place where there's only God, there's nothing else. So right from the cat and dog and neighbor and maid, and it's all just God, and everything else is just story.
Wow. Yeah.
And notice that when we speak of these high truths, how much the body mind also loves it.
Yes.
It goes into a deep, deep, deep kind of rest. Yes, any questions on this?
I think one thing that you were explaining a while ago about the experience getting subtler.
Yeah.
So I think right now the subtlety is not there because of the contrast that I'm experiencing. Like when I was before the call, I was so chaotic. Right now I'm feeling so peaceful. There is like a huge variation of experience.
Correct.
And when there is such a huge variation of experience, it feels like it's happening to me. The I, you know, the peace is also happening to me. And that's why it feels so, like that.
So redefine the peace. Peace is actually the absence of you.
Yeah.
Peace is the absence of you. When there is no you, there is perfect peace. So you don't have to take it like this, that, okay, if I'm feeling peace means sharing the body, mind, personality, feeling peace. No, peace can also be seen like this, where at this moment, the body, mind, personality are absent or they are minimized.
Yeah.
Right? The body is not screaming for attention. The personality is not screaming. The stories are not interfering. Everything is minimized.
Yeah.
And when it is fully zero, then there is perfect peace. Then there is what you call samadhi. So the contrast is, you can reframe that contrast. You can see it differently. That Sharin was very much active and present at the beginning of the call. With the stories and the emotions and the guilt, and, you know, Sharin was fully there. And now Sharin is just like a few thoughts, or just a little bit of smoke.
Yeah. Wow.
And the more we sense this, the more we taste this, the more we become willing, you know, to go deeper here. Then we become willing to let go of the personality. We become willing to let go of attachments, of all forms of clinging. Because we start sensing this space. And we realize this is something far more beautiful than anything the world can give you.
Yeah, absolutely.
more you trust it, the more its duty you will realize. And then it's simple logic, simple common sense that this is better than anything else. That is the point when you, when the conflict between the materiality and spirituality ends, you know, where this I want the world and I want this and I want that, and that all gets over. There is no more conflict. Then you know what you want. Before that, there is a tug of war. And there's always this feeling that the teacher is trying to take away something from you.
Yeah.
What are you getting?
The word that is coming is I'm feeling vast, very vast.
Yes. It's a good word. Vast again means that for a few moments we have let go of the limitation of the body. Because the body makes us feel small. The body makes us feel compressed and tiny. So whenever we connect with consciousness, there is a sense of vastness. There is a sense of spaciousness and there is a sense of transparency. These are the three words I use the most. Actually, I use transparency the most. So spaciousness and transparency seem accurate. Vastness is also fun. Correct?
Yes, it is.
And the less we are invested in the personality, the more this vastness will be experienced. So when Maharaj said, you know, give up all self-concern, he was trying to lead people to this point. Because as long as you're obsessed with yourself and your problems, you cannot touch this point. You just can't. You will be, you know, you'll spend your whole life on weight loss only. you'll spend your whole life on weight loss, on money issues, on relationship issues, aging and wrinkles and seema nikal jayega. But if you're willing to forget yourself, which means forget this body mind person, then the vastness becomes accessible very quickly.
There is so much of, I think again it's my ego wanting that. There's so much of temptation in wanting to stay in whatever is happening right now. Whatever is extreme.
Then figure out the mechanism and do this as a homework.
Yeah.
If consciousness is always present, how does this experience of me being away from it, how does that occur? What is actually going on? How can I rectify that?
Yes, it is.
How can I lose something that's always with me?
Yeah.
What trickeries are happening in the body mind which make me feel like I've lost it? So you have to play with these high level questions and you have to chew them like bubble gum. You have to keep chewing them.
Yes.
Yeah. Where is this consciousness now? In this moment. Any moment you can ask the question. Where was it a few minutes ago when I was not aware of it? Am I ever not aware of it? Or is it just an illusion that I lost awareness of it?
Wow.
Yeah. If everything is consciousness, even the objects are consciousness, even the world is consciousness, how can I lose awareness of consciousness? To lose something, there must be something else, no? Some opposing thing to which you can lose it to. Correct?
Yeah.
Like if you want to lose the north, you can go to the south. But if you want to lose consciousness, where will you go? There's nowhere to go. Except into illusions. and dreams, in which there is apparent separation and you've forgotten who you are and you're running around here and there trying to get something. So the only way to lose consciousness is by dreaming. And that's all you're asked to give up by Akim or any other spiritual system. The only thing you're ever asked to give up are your dreams. But the dream involves the body, mind, world, all of it, the whole universe. And for most people, it's a tall ask because that's all they know.
Yeah.
They have not experienced anything beyond that. So the power and beauty of satsang is that you get to experience something that's beyond the body, mind, world.
Yeah.
And you develop a taste for something more refined, something more beautiful, something more transcendental. Then that taste itself keeps calling you.
Yeah.
It says, come to me. Come
to me. Exactly.
It's magnetic.
Yeah, it's tempting. Exactly. That's what I was feeling. Right?
Yeah. So the biggest joke is that consciousness itself is playing hide and seek with consciousness. Yeah. But if you spot the game, you come to the other side of it. You understand nothing is really happening. Just some ripples. So you're not feeling like ending this conversation.
Yes.
The biggest confusion that happens is this statement we discussed earlier, that I am aware. I am aware of a flower. I am aware of my guilt. No. I am aware of the world. I am aware of the sunset. But actually, only awareness is aware of anything. You can't be aware because you are... Remember the word we use, apple?
Yeah.
How can the word apple be aware of anything? It's just a word. It's just itself a ripple in consciousness.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
So to say apple is aware of the world, the apple cannot be aware of the world. It's just a thought. It's the same as saying Sharon is aware of the world, but Sharon is just another thought.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So Sharon can't be aware of anything. Sharon has no awareness. Awareness has Sharon. It's all upside down. And only awareness can be aware of anything. So this conversation, if one is aware of this conversation, is because awareness is present. Only awareness is aware of this. Not Sharon. Sharon is not aware of this conversation. Awareness is aware of this conversation and Sharon and everything else in it.
Yes.
So that's another interesting thing to realize, that Sharon has no awareness. Awareness has Sharon.
And all this while Sharon was feeling that, you know, she's the thing. She's the one.
Yep, you'll feel that even after you've heard this.
Yeah.
So you'll have to keep chewing it.
Yes, it is.
Until it becomes your own experience. But Sharon has no awareness. Only awareness has awareness.
Nice.
Chalo, I will take your leave now, okay?
Yes.
Tingo. But play with this. Stay with this. It's with you only.
Yes, it is.
You are the awareness. You see, you can't lose it.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So just stay with it, play with it, explore it, and catch me with more questions the next time.